Representative Aaron Regenberg, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Kristen. Really appreciate your interest in this.
So you are chairing a committee that's looking into the use of solitary confinement in prisons in Rhode Island. Tell me a little bit about how much solitary confinement is used in Rhode Island. What do we know about that?
So that was one of the goals of this commission, is to really get a better sense of exactly what's happening at the ACI. And our first commission meeting was really delving into the data and the numbers. How many people are going into solitary, for how long, what kinds of these people? And it's interesting because the Department of Corrections hadn't previously been tracking that information. And so one of the just initial little, you know, positive effects of this is that we figured out a way that we should be tracking this, and some smart, dedicated data people at the department went about doing that. So it's a significant tool that's used in the department. There's, you know, hundreds of people right now in the ACI who have been in solitary confinement for varying lengths of time, but it can be weeks, months, even, you know, over years. Mm-hmm. We're working in this commission to really get a sense of, are there better ways that we can be approaching some of these issues?
You've heard hours and hours of testimony about the impact of solitary confinement. Can you tell me a little something, what you've learned about solitary confinement that you didn't know before you started this process?
My interest in this was sparked last year when I heard from some community members who'd experienced prolonged solitary confinement, and that was what got me doing more research and seeing what other states had done to try to reform or reduce the use. But it's very clear that this is a tool that can have a deep impact on a person's mental health, on their ability to build relationships and be in social situations. The studies and research out there shows that there are some significant symptoms, and they can be more devastating with folks who already have mental health challenges, which we know a lot of people in our prison system do. But I've been receiving messages and phone calls and letters from people who are current inmates, from family members of people who are experiencing solitary confinement, from people who are out now but experienced it before, you know, detailing the mental anguish of being in there for so long, the impact on relationships when you can't see or talk to your wife or your kids for a long extended period of time. It's a real challenge, and what we're doing in this commission is trying to figure out, on the one hand, and we heard this last year when I introduced legislation to try to reform the use, the Department of Corrections and the men and women who make that system run every day have challenging jobs, and it's a difficult management situation at the best of times. And so what they've been saying is, we need all the tools at our disposal. We need flexibility. And then on the other hand, you've got community members who are saying this can be devastating. So how do we find a balance, and how do we come to some consensus? And that's what the at times challenging work that we're doing in this commission.
Why should someone on the outside, why should someone who's not, you know, currently behind bars at the ACI care about whether or not someone's in solitary confinement?
Well, the vast majority of folks behind bars will at some point rejoin our community, and I think it's in all of our interests to make sure that they're rejoining it with as healthy and unbroken a mind as possible. That's to the good of our community.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie recently came out in favor of solitary confinement, saying that critics of it were painting the practice as more harsh than it really is. Are you against solitary confinement under any circumstances, or can you see a time when it might be a useful tool?
So the legislation I introduced last year that sort of kicked off this conversation, it wasn't abolishing the practice completely. It was putting some limits as far as length of time someone can be in, as far as extra protections for vulnerable populations, for example, folks with mental illness who we know are particularly impacted by this. I don't think that the process of this is eliminating it completely. I mean, there are countries in the world, many of them, that don't use this at all. And so they've figured out management systems that don't need this. But I think what we're trying to do, for example, the state of Maine went through a reform process where they looked at, are we really only using solitary in the extreme cases when it's really necessary. So for example, right now in Rhode Island, if you're an inmate, you take a piece of food from the cafeteria, but take it back to your cell to eat later. That can get you, you know, multiple weeks in solitary confinement. So can we narrow the times when it's really necessary? Can we figure out, you know, in cases where someone's, they call it getting buried in SEG, where they're, you just rack up infractions.
Segregation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are there ways where we can sort of get at the underlying behavioral issues or challenges there in a way that will actually resolve the issue instead of just burying that person in a way that doesn't actually get at the core issue? Mm-hmm. When Maine went through that process, they were able to significantly reduce the amount of folks and time in solitary confinement. Behavioral disciplinary infractions did not go up or get worse. They saved money because, by the way, this is a huge expense. Put someone in solitary at the high security for a year. That's $90,000. It's like the most expensive bid. So we're trying to really look at this creatively and think through other ways.
Aaron Regenberg, have people spoken out in these hearings and said, look, we really need solitary confinement. It doesn't need to be reformed. It's a tool that's working.
Well, we've got a very diverse commission. We've got every stakeholder at the table, which I'm very proud of. We've got folks from every part of the Department of Corrections. We've got the correctional officers represented. And then we've got folks who've experienced solitary confinement themselves, people from the mental health field, legal field, et cetera. So I'm proud that diversity is represented. And that can lead to some interesting and sometimes difficult conversations. But what you hear from the department or the correctional officers is our job is to manage this challenging environment. Safety of staff and other inmates is paramount. And this is a tool that we need to do that management, to make sure that someone who's having behavioral issues can be dealt with.
What do you hope is the product of this committee, these hearings? What would you like to come out of it?
We're almost through the information gathering part. We started off, as I mentioned, looking at the data, at the numbers. Then we opened it up to community members, folks who've experienced it, letters from folks who are currently behind bars, which is a voice that's not usually heard in the halls of power. So that was interesting. And then we did a deep dive into the mental health research and analysis and the systems they currently have in the DOC. The next, we've got one more meeting of sort of information gathering. It's doing a survey of what other states and jurisdictions who've attempted reform have done. And when we finish with that, we get to the harder part, which is getting all those diverse stakeholders around a circular table to have some real dialogue about what are the changes we can try to forge some consensus around.
Writing legislation.
And trying to get some consensus. And that consensus could be around administrative reforms. Mm-hmm. If the department says we want to make change, but we want to do it administratively, you know, that's something that I'm open to in the commission. As long as we're saying we're going to take this seriously, we're going to make some real steps towards a fair, more just, more humane and more effective system. But I think the ideal goal is let's try to all come together around a package of reforms that everyone can get behind. And I'm hopeful that we can do it.
Aaron Regenberg is a representative from Providence. Thank you so much for joining me to talk about solitary confinement.
Thanks for having me.